The reading appointed for this Sunday is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit have you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please let us stand for the Holy Gospel, which is that of the Apostle St. Matthew. At the time Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by the fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. We are saved by the merits of the most precious blood of our Lord and Savior. The month of July is dedicated to the devotion to the most precious blood of Jesus. We celebrated that feast solemnly, first-class feast, last Sunday. July 1st is the day when the Church, in the traditional calendar, celebrates this feast. We find then in the Holy Scriptures that the new revelation is prefigured and in obscurity reveals the New Testament hidden under the significances and symbolisms of the Old. We witness all of the different elements that anticipate the blood of our Lord in the Passion when we read the Old Testament. We see that from the earliest sacrifices of the Old Testament, we see that one of the primary acts of animal sacrifice is the application of its blood on a person or an object. The presence of God, of the blood, gives the person or objects a specific power. One of the more vivid demonstrations of this is the painting blood of the sacrificed animals on the doorpost of Israelite homes during the Exodus from Egypt. We read from Exodus chapter 12, quote, "When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter into your houses and strike you down." Exodus chapter 12. God will see them, that the blood will set them apart, make them holy. So then the destroying angel will not enter to that house. The doors were marked with blood in the shape of a cross, thus anticipating the blood of Christ shed for us at the time of the Passion. Similarly, blood was sprinkled on the people during the institution of the covenant by Moses. The high priest of the Old Testament will enter into the Solomon temple and sprinkle the blood on the altar from a sacrificial lamb to beg the remission of sins of the chosen people. These numerous examples illustrate that blood sacrifice had such meaning and power in the Israelite mindset. The blood of Jesus, our Savior of the world, and the salvific action of his blood is the mystery that the Church wants us to consider during this month of July. If we think that the angel who passed at midnight over Egypt to slay the firstborn reverenced the blood of the Paschal Lamb sprinkled on the doorposts of the Israelites, simply because it was a type of the blood of Jesus, much more should we reverence the miraculous blood which comes down from the cross as a higher and holier thing than the symbolic blood of animals. St. Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews, "But Christ, being a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself and spotted unto God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Quote from the letter to the Hebrews. Then what strikes us then at the first thought of the most precious blood? Obviously, this reading of St. Paul, who is called the apostle of the precious blood, according to Father Faber, it's very eloquent in itself about the mystery of the most precious blood. But let us see, Father Faber, who wrote a book called, entitled as this name, Most Precious Blood, is a very beautiful spiritual reading that I would recommend, especially for this month of July. Father Faber points out that we have to worship the most precious blood of our Lord with the worship, with the highest worship, that is adoration. We venerate a relic, but we adore our Lord in the most blessed sacrament. Father Faber says, quote, "But we need not to go to Jerusalem. We need not to have lived 1800 years ago," he says, "to find the precious blood and worship it. Here is part of that wonder of our holy faith we should be burning of love in our hearts, since we actually worship it every day in the chalice at Mass. When the chalice, dear brethren, is uplifted over the altar, the blood of Jesus is there, whole and entire, glorified and full of the pulses of his true human life. The blood that once lay in the cave at Olivet, that curdled in the thongs and knots of the scourges, that matted his hair and soaked his garments, the blood that he drank himself in his own communion on Holy Thursday, the blood that lay all Friday night in seemingly careless prodigality upon the pavement of the holy city, that same blood is living in the chalice, united to the person of the eternal Word, and has to be worshipped with the uttermost reverence and sacredness of our bodies and souls." Quote from Father Faber in his book, Most Precious Blood. Is that living God, that living blood of our Lord? May his blood, we pray today at Holy Mass, we beseech thee for us to be a fountain of water springing up into life everlasting, says the prayer of the Mass of the most precious blood that we prayed last Monday. The blood in the chalice is the blood of the living Jesus in heaven, the blood that is shed in the passion and reassumed at the resurrection, born up to heaven in the ascension and placed at the right hand of the Father, there in its consummate glory and beautified immortality. That is the blood that comes down from heaven at every Mass. If we were really follow the example of that man of faith, the saints, who could never miss the opportunity to attend Holy Mass, even during the week, first Fridays, first Saturdays, whenever we can, not just on Sundays. If we see and we know from centuries, martyrs in Mexico, in Spain, during the civil persecution, they were martyred not because of any political reasons, not because any political ideals, but they were martyred because of attending Holy Mass, as we can read in the numerous examples. How is then the place that we give to the holy sacrifice of the Mass in our lives? Do we really try to make an effort to attend Holy Mass during the week on the devotions? Do we prepare ourselves to attend Mass on Sundays by doing a good thanksgiving and preparation? We're usually surprised, and we read about the many miraculous events that took place of the different Eucharistic miracles. Blood shed in crucifixes, the host that has miraculously bled at Mass. All that in order to reassure men's faith or to cause reformation in their lives. However, Father Faber points out to something very interesting. That blood of all of those miraculous events is not really the most precious blood. That is why we venerate the relics of the different Eucharistic miracles. But we adore the precious blood of our Lord at Holy Mass, because the blood of the miracles is a production of God, is a miraculous production of God, which appeals to the veneration and teaching of this great mystery of faith. However, that blood has never lived in our Lord. Even though it's venerated, because it has been appointed to represent in figure the precious blood, is not the precious blood that comes to the chalice at every Holy Mass. We should nourish our souls with this devotion. When we recite the litany to the most precious blood, there is a litany to the most precious blood, you probably know it, says at every invocation, save us, at the end of every invocation, save us. We are saved by it. And when we talk about salvation, we also apply the salvific merits of the most precious blood to the holy souls in purgatory. This devotion is connected to the relief of the holy souls in purgatory. And I will read a few testimonies of this. In the life of the Venerable Anne of Jesus, the companion of St. Teresa of Avila, we read that once in communicating, she had her mouth sensibly filled with very sweet blood, which flowed from the host. And another time, she had a vision of the joy which an infinite number of blessed souls in purgatory have in that blood in heaven. We're probably familiar, I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of the angels holding chalices to the wounded side of Jesus, while Mary prays beneath, and then pouring those chalices into the fires of purgatory. This simply represents this Catholic truth of the efficacy of the most precious blood to quench the flames of purgatory. The souls who are there, and according to many approved testimonies of the Church, the souls that have been allowed to appear, they say and tell that while they are patiently waiting in purgatory, they give witness to the adorable precious blood that is the relief, their relief, to satiate that thirst for heaven. St. Gertrude's revelations provide material to this devotion, and there is a prayer to the holy souls related to the intercession of the most precious blood to save the holy souls in purgatory. So we not only pray for our own salvation when we have devotion to the holy, to the precious blood, but we also pray that the merits of that precious blood of Jesus would be applicable to the holy souls in purgatory. We thank the Lord for this gift of His most precious blood that is renewed at every Mass in our altars. May the salvific power of this holy, most precious blood defend us from all evils in this present life and be cleansed to enjoy those fruits of the precious blood in heaven. We pray then in this month of July that we really make an effort to love the Holy Mass, read about it, pray the Holy Mass with fervor, and recite the litany to the precious blood, have this devotion so connected to the salvation of the holy souls and the salvation of our souls by the intercession of the precious blood of our Lord. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.